Live. Catch the podcast on kaya959.co.za.
So lots happening across the country since Election Day almost 2 weeks ago on the 29th of May. For the first time ever, the ANC losing its outright majority, causing the governing party to spring into action in its coalition talks with other parties. Now, since it's all eyes on the various political parties, as they talk to each other, and in some cases they choose not to talk to each other, it's all interesting because it's a lot going on at the same time. So looking at our topics of conversation tonight, I mean, we speak to an analyst about the Umkhonto we Sizwe party and its challenge to the first sitting of parliament happening this Friday. The MK party has filed an urgent application to halt the first sitting of parliament on the grounds that the May 29 vote was marred by fraud and rigging, they say. Now, the MK wants the Constitutional Court to order President Cyril Ramaphosa to proclaim and call and set dates for another election that must be held within 90 days of the date of the courts of order. But to get analysis, we have Mudidima Manyana, who's on the line, to give us more details. Mr. Manyana, I mean, what do you make? Welcome, first of all, to Point of View. I'm Katlego Soroto, and welcome. Mr. Manyana, are you on the line?
Yes, I am on the line.
All right. Welcome to Point of View. It's very nice to have you on the line. Do you hear us loud and clearly?
Yes, I hear you very well.
All right. Mr. Manyana, I mean, let's jump straight into it in terms of the MK fighting back the first sitting of parliament. I mean, just right off the bat, do you think that the MK has any legal grounds to stand on in terms of its dispute of the elections themselves, in that they were not free and fair, that they could have been vote rigging? Is there merits in their case?
Well, look, I think the first thing that we must deal with is whether all the parties share the same view as MK party, because the rest of the parties or the majority or those of the parties who contested have accepted the election as free and fair. And their declaration is understandable because the IEC has got processes and systems which enable parties to determine as the election happens what really happens. For instance, you have got party agents who observe the voting, who observe the counting, who observe the tallying of votes. So every party would be able to be looking and seeing what exactly is happening. And that makes sense why this party says so. Then you also have what they call the Party Liaison Committee, which is a committee established by the IEC, where parties deal with whatever challenges that they face. I am not saying by any means there might have not been fraud or some irregularities, but the other question is whether if there is fraud or irregularity, is of such a material nature that it has got a bearing on the outcome of the elections, which is something that I very much doubt.
Yes.
But the more important issue is we need to understand that the IEC is a specialist body that conducts elections. And this is a very complex process. And they have responded to whatever complaints that have been made. They have told us that they are satisfied that the election is free and fair. The court is not in a position to determine whether there's this or that unless the IEC itself were to provide information which demonstrates that there were material irregularities in the elections.
Yes. Now, Mr. Manyana, I mean, the at the same time within the MK party, lots going on in terms of disputes. The expelled MK party founder, Jabulani Khumalo, approaching the High Court in the Western Cape to prevent his removal as an MP. And what does this mean in terms of the MK's infighting in relation to its also broader fight with, you know, the Chief Justice in trying to prevent the sitting? Do you think it's just too much going on within the party in relation to these elections?
Yes, Katlego, you know, there was a party called COPE.
Yes.
And this party became a very regular feature in our courts.
Yes.
And this party has now been obliterated from the political scene, you know. because some of the issues that could have been resolved without resort to courts, they took to court. I think MK party leaders must be very careful about the repetitive litigious approach to issues. As you can see, already there's a fight within, and they are involved with a fight with outside forces, like the challenge in the election, the IEC. They had fights with the ANC, and that, for me, I don't think is helpful. If you look at the case of Mr. Khumalo, you know, essentially Khumalo says, I have been removed from the list. Now, remember, parties submit lists of their candidates.
Yes.
To the IEC. And after the election, these people who are on this list, depending on the allocation that a party will get of the seats, are deemed to be elected. They are members of parliament. So Mr. Khumalo is a member of parliament who has now been removed by his party. And the question, of course, before the court is whether his party followed a procedure, because in law, you do not take a decision adverse to a person without affording that person an opportunity to be heard. That alone is sufficient for the court to intervene. Now, but the implication is, remember, Mr. Khumalo is also in the electoral court challenging his removal as party leader.
Yes.
Now, imagine if Mr. Khumalo were to succeed in the electoral court and he was to succeed in the Western Cape court. If he succeeds in the electoral court, it means he has the authority to some extent to even change the list. So some people may become victims of this infighting now.
Sure.
If he gets an order on Thursday that his removal from the list was unlawful, he's reinstated. He will go straight to parliament because he's not going to listen to somebody that he regards as not being a leader. The possibility is he will go with a group of those who support him who are on the list. And remember, Kateo, some of these people go into these political parties and list for job creation purposes. I mean, I'm sitting here thinking a guy that may have never earned a salary is confronted with losing a salary of 1.2 million. I'm sure somebody's going to defy at some point.
Yes, certainly. And I mean, talking about should Mr. Khumalo emerge victorious in all these court battles, I mean, where does this leave former President Jacob Zuma? Well, perhaps maybe not just from a legal perspective, but from a face value perspective. Where does it leave him?
Look, I have a sense that at some point, because I think the perception out there, and I've seen one of his interviews, and he says this party actually was his from the beginning, except that he didn't want to be seen to be doing this because, as in his words, he was operating underground. But Katleho, human beings are human beings. They have a limited span of tolerance and respect, you know. And I think if people are going to feel oppressed, they will rebel against Mr. Zuma, no doubt about it. In fact, Mr. Khumalo, who is supposed to have been his puppet in registering this party, is rebelling against him. And don't think he's just alone. I'm sure there are others who are supporting him. And very soon, we may just see the type of implosion and fracture that we saw in COPE.
Yes.
Remember, the COPE battle started between Musiwa Lukota and Basil Mashilowa. And it engulfed the whole party and actually destroyed the party.
Absolutely. And I just wanted to go back to that point about what happened to COPE and the, if you will, the decrease in power over the years and significance in terms of political play. And do you think that the MK party is not actually taking lessons as a party that's emerged as a breakaway from the ANC, disgruntled members unhappy with the status quo of the governing party? Do you think that the MK has just not learned lessons from what's happened to organizations that broke away from the mother body?
Well, look, I mean, you know, if you look, let's take an example, for instance, parties that came from the DA. I think there were about four or five of them. And if you look at their performance, it just simply tells you that, you know, politics are not as simple as what me and Katleho think we can wake up tomorrow and go and form a political
yes.
party. The same thing that you find in MK, because I think the MK situation might be different in the sense that it is also informed by a high-level fallout. There's a perception that Mr. Zuma is fighting back. He's trying to mobilize so that his legal problems with the state are addressed in some way or the other. I've seen some analysts suggest that this whole action of challenging elections and doing this is try and leverage negotiations. But the reality of the matter is he is going to be the loser at the end of the day.
Yes.
You must bear in mind that Mr. Zuma is not my age. He's of advanced age.
Yes.
I'm 82. Even wondering whether at his age he's coping physically and emotionally. I mean, this is quite serious pressure. I mean, he has run a campaign. He's been very active.
Yes.
Remember, a few times we have been told that his health is not very good. And I don't necessarily think that it's a joke that his health is not very good. So it's going to take a toll on him. But I think you're starting to see within the party, for instance, you have seen stories of the spokesperson alleged to have an affair with his daughter. So you can see that things are starting to come out and people are starting to find anything that they can use to fight back some way or the other and discredit each other. And yes, it's going to be rough, believe you me.
Absolutely.
And I don't necessarily think that, you know, people come from the ANC in particular. Those people should be conscious and sensitive of what this type of sectional battles can do to an organization. I mean, we can accept that the ANC's problems today of losing power have little to do with its delivery record. I can tell you, Katleho, that many years ago, to drive to my family home, I had to deal with a torturous gravel road. Now I get off the tar road and 300 meters I'm in my house. You know,
yes.
I have got, I sit there sometimes and look at, you know, I remember in the olden days, I think my father bought a generator. I sit there and I watch the whole village lit up, you know.
Mm.
So I look in my village, there are RDP houses. So to a very great extent, this has got very little to do with the delivery track record of the ANC, but the issues of corruption and the issues of factionalism.
Mm-hmm.
Now, people who leave the ANC and go and start another factional battle must expect to see what has happened to the ANC. In a way, they probably help the ANC by leaving because maybe the factional battles go down. But as you can see, the factional battles will increase in MK Party. So it's not just about the COPE experience. They must look at what happened to parties that broke from the DA. You have seen the EFF has gone down now.
Yes.
They've been talking very big and rough. You know, but you know, Katlego, South Africans are very complicated people. They don't want any form of extremism. You know,
yes.
I think if the people who voted MK now, like I'm thinking, sitting, I left the ANC, I'm on the list. I'm told now I mustn't go to parliament. Now there's a guy who's a councillor there who's probably considering joining MK, but he thinks, yo, what if I join? There's an election and they say I mustn't take my seat. I'm going to be hungry.
Mm.
So I think these things, all of them, but imagine what will happen if MK Party loses all this legal battles. I don't think the Constitutional Court will order that the elections be reconvened.
Yes.
There has to be a compelling case. I don't think that MK will succeed in saying Parliament is not properly constituted simply because they are not there.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I think they're taking a gamble because I'm asking myself, if the court rules against them, which is likely to happen, are they now going to swallow their pride and send their members back? If they don't send them back, those members will lose the seats. If they lose the seats, will they send another group? If they don't send another group, I think the logic is that their seats must be redistributed.
Absolutely.
So ultimately, they might be found to have waived their right to take seats in the National Assembly. The law doesn't allow a vacuum.
Now, Mr. Manya, I hear what you're saying, and it definitely calls into question the formation of the MK Party and being so, if one might say, a rebel group that broke away from the ANC. Do you think service delivery and the citizens of South Africa were at the heart of the formation, at least at the start? And is that still part of what drives them, would you say, in terms of occupying seats in parliament and occupying seats, especially in KZN, where they did particularly well. Is governance top of mind for them at this point?
You know, look, I'm not sure about what exactly. If you recall, forget about KZN and NK Party for the moment.
Mm.
Remember in the last local government elections, you know, people did punish the ANC and removed the ANC in various municipalities. What have we experienced? We have experienced chaos. I mean, you know, in Johannesburg, the largest city economy, we have had about four mayors in less than 2 years, you know. And it's very disruptive to have instability in government, you know. But equally, you will see the instability. You saw what happened in parliament, you know, with the screaming matches there. Yeah?
Yes.
Most of the parties that have been making a lot of noise in parliament have not done very well, you know. Now, you ask yourself, why would somebody wake up in parliament to go and scream the whole session and not say, I want Manya to have a proper road or a proper house? That's what we expect.
Yes.
So the question that you are asking is a valid question. Is MK, with the 37 seats that it has, which is 45%, is it going to advance service delivery? And if so, what are its policies? Because one of the difficulties you have, the MK party doesn't have a leadership yet, elected at least. It does not announce its policies. We just hear that it's ideologically on the left. I don't know what informs that, because I've been seeing their policies. I've seen the policies of the DA, of the EFF. I can criticize them. How do I criticize MK party when I haven't seen anything? What are their members? What is going to guide their members in terms of making input? What would happen if, for argument's sake, MK were to be the governing party? Let's say they were to have the premiership. What are they going to say they are going to do? Because remember, fundamentally, MK, as you correctly say, it was a protest and rebellion against the ANC. But I've said to people repeatedly, rebelling against your mother body is not a manifesto. You know, you are rebelling. And many of us might be irritated and emotionally associated with your rebellion. But government is government. I've worked in government. It doesn't work. You are not going to go there with a slogan. You need to identify the priorities. You need to cost the priorities. You have a budget that you must adhere to. You have rules and procedures that you must adhere to. There's not one political party that's going to go into government today and change all the laws in a week and do what it was. It doesn't work that way.
Absolutely. And I guess a last one, Mr. Manya, in terms of with the legal battles. I mean, it's such a ticking clock until the first sitting of Parliament on Friday, as well as the second on Saturday with the NCOP. I mean, what do you foresee happening within these next few hours leading up to the first sitting on Friday?
I see the National Assembly sitting. I see members of the National Assembly being sworn in. I see the election of the Speaker, the election of the President. I see the same repeating on Saturday. And I see Parliament continuing to function. As a matter of fact, Katleho, it is impossible and impractical for the Constitutional Court to hear the MK party application by Thursday. It's impossible. You know, this is a matter involving a serious constitutional issue. The court will dare not take the chance of giving an order without hearing the state. It will not give an order without hearing very interested people, which are the other political parties. In the absence of an interdict, there's no way the Chief Justice will be derelict in his duty. So he's going to proceed with this letter.
Absolutely.
So the National Assembly will be constituted come on Friday.
Absolutely. No, Mr. Manya, we'll leave it there. Thank you so much for your time this evening.
Thank you, ma'am.
That was Mr. Mudidima Manya, just giving us a breakdown on the developments concerning the MK party, its bid to halt the first sitting of parliament, claiming rigging, vote rigging, and that the elections were not free and fair. But Mr. Manya, they're outlining, you know, his skepticism that they could win this case and that they, it's unlikely that there'd be a re-election. So certainly a lot of conversation about the MK's legal battles, what it means for the first sitting of parliament. But parliament definitely outlining that it intends to continue on. But after the short break now, we will be speaking to UDM leader Mr. Bantu Holomisa about the topic of the Government of National Unity, as outlined earlier in the week, the ANC looking at forming this kind of a government for its seventh administration. Some people have chosen, like the MK and EFF, to stay out of the conversation, but we'll hear from Mr. Holomisa just after this about his sentiments.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.